From sprains to fractures, get expert care quickly at the University of Kansas Health System. Walk-in orthopedic care is open weekdays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 to 2, at I-435 and Null. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
You are listening live to the program. Your teams, your town, your program.
With the first pick in the 2024 WNBA draft, the Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa.
Obviously, it's the Midwest. Everybody knows it's going to be a hard ticket to get. So if you haven't got your tickets yet, you better get them now. I'm excited.
That ball is crushed. Deep right field. And Vinny has his second home run in as many days. The Royals get their first base runner, their first hit, and their first run score. And there's a ground ball left side. Lofton comes around third, and he will beat the throw. And a nice, easy swing by Kyle Isbell gives the Royals a 2-0 lead. And MacArthur gets the job done. So the Royals get their third shutout victory of the year.
And now, a man who has almost as many wins as the White Sox all by himself, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us here on what is now a sunsplash. And if you look this direction, cloudless day after a monsoon rolled through here around 10 o'clock.
Felt like I was driving through a car wash.
Yeah.
Now it's...
We look out to the west. When I turned into the complex looking to the east, it was pretty cool because it was about a 25,000-foot high cloud. I don't know how to judge how high in the sky goes. But you can see the storm off to the east, and you can see it off to the north as well. It's just massive.
It's crazy. Springtime in the Midwest.
I actually love it. I drove with the windows down. Like gale force, like pushing my face sideways. The wind was so, but I'm like, let's experience it.
That's terrific.
I like the wind for a little bit.
I often am the only person.
I'm not trying to carry a stack of papers across the yard.
I often am the only person at the light with 15 other cars that has their windows down.
Yeah, nobody.
I just like it.
If you roll all four down,
it's less windy.
It's because they're all stoned. Is that what it is?
Could be.
But everybody's stoned now.
But cheat code: roll all four down. There's less wind than there is if there's only two.
Well, and you also don't get that. Boom, 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 boom,
yes.
You know.
Which was
help me. What are we, a kettle drum now? Yes, technically you are, because we're cramming air into something that creating the same phenomenon that is a drum.
Yep.
Important safety tip. All right, a lot coming your way today. Eric Tommy scored twice. Not enough for the win against Miami, but brilliant goals nonetheless from Eric Tommy. Sporting loses 3-2 on Sunday to, or on
Saturday.
Saturday. Yeah. Saturday.
But stole a lot of the stage from the greatest player in the world.
It was great. Eric Tommy looked fantastic. We'll talk to him coming up here a little bit later on. Tim Grunhardt in the 3. Draft talk with Grunny in the 4. Sam McDowell. Probably a lot of draft talk there. Some Royals baseball talk for sure. And we'll wrap things up with Shahan Jayarajah. We bid adieu to Gary Parrish and the college basketball season. We do always like to, in that 5 o'clock hour on Tuesday, we've got such great college athletics around here. We like to talk college sports. So now we kind of transition. We lean on football quite a bit now. So Shahan Jayarajah, national football writer for CBS Sports, will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. So we look forward to talking some college football with Shahan. So, you know, a buffet.
Yes.
There's football. Baseball, football, I don't think there's any, maybe a little stadium stuff, I don't know, maybe, with Sam McDowell.
Sam's always got something working.
And then college football.
Yeah.
So.
The joys of living in a city with this many teams around you.
We always like to open the program, taking your phone calls, 913-3810-810, the phone number. You can grab a line right now. Royals, we're going to open with them. But if you got a conversation, a question, a topic, a thought. about the Chiefs. We'll take it. Sporting Kansas City, yes. Missouri, K-State, KU, always a topic of the program. Tigers. Mizzou still working in the portal.
Yes, got another double-digit scorer from Iowa, a point guard, which is something they've sorely missed the first couple of years of the Dennis Gates era, a guy who could actually run the offense and can score.
So you're saying there is an offense.
Well, I assume there is one somewhere in there. We just haven't really seen it that often. It's basically their offense. Basically, the last couple of years is either they hit shots or they don't. And 2 years ago, they had a guy who could, and last year they didn't really have a guy who could.
The timeless, late great Rick Majerus would have said, "Do you know what their offense is?" Rick Majerus could coach some offense.
My goodness, could he?
Yeah. Hell of a basketball coach, great analyst as well. Fun guy, good guy. We miss him even
absolutely.
God, years later. He actually had SLU in the tournament, for God's sake. That don't happen often, people.
He's terrific.
Not anymore. Not since Charlie Spoonhour and Rick Majerus. Who else has taken that squad there? That's about it.
I think so.
Travis Ford might have back-assed in once.
Yeah, it's possible.
But let's start with the Kansas City Royals. They win again. They now are 6-0 against the White Sox, 5-5 against all other teams. Right?
I think they're
5-0. 6-6 against all other teams. That's of note. If you want to talk about the Houston Astros, who have struggled out of the gates as well and are just 6-12, the Royals are 8-0 against the Astros and White Sox.
The White Sox are 2-14.
Which would mean that the Royals are 3-6 against all other opponents. All other opponents being the Twins, Mets, and Orioles. Are you okay with that?
I am. I'd like to be better than 3-6, but that they are absolutely crushing the teams that they're supposed to beat. They haven't lost a game to a team they're supposed to beat yet.
They did drop 2-3 to the Minnesota Twins, who are 4-8 against all teams not named the Royals.
Mm-hmm.
They're just 6-9, but
it's so early that it's hard to kind of you do that little. Link to link, and you're like, wait a minute, something's not right.
It's how you want to frame it. If you want to, the Royals are, 9-2 against teams with a losing record, right, so far? So they're 3-4 against teams with winning records. Now, listen, we've said it time and time again. You pulled the 23 numbers, because I think it is of note that they've dominated the White Sox, and when they're done with this series, what do they play? 13 games? They'll be half done? What's 11, 12, 13? What do you play in division? You got to play at least 12, don't you?
I think.
Well, I got the schedule here. I guess I could look. How many more against the White Sox? Let's see, two more, and then they don't see the White Sox again until... Play a three-game set on July 19th here. Go to Chicago on July 29th 13. For three. Yeah, because they played a four-gamer already.
Yep.
So 13 games. So when this is over, they will have played seven of their 13 games against the White Sox. So if it's just like the White Sox are going to win 32 games, set a record for going 32 and 130, then, okay, that does speak a little louder. If they're going to be your usual 100-loss team, okay, they're doing what they're supposed to do. But, you can only play the teams in front of you. You hope they finish off by sweeping out the rest. If they split the next two, that'll be a series win, which is what baseball is all against. But then it does toughen up.
Yes.
It does toughen up over the next... what is it? After these next two with the White Sox, three with the O's, four with the Jays, three with the Tigers, three at the Jays, right? So we're now 13 games in, three with the Texans, three with the Brewers. Next 19, after they get done with the White Sox are against good clubs.
Yeah.
That's where we find out.
Yep.
And Toronto might not even, their record is 9-8.
Yeah.
So every one of those teams currently, right now, I do believe, right? Baltimore definitely is, Toronto is, Detroit is, Texas is.
Mm-hmm.
Double check Milwaukee. They were 5-1.
Milwaukee is
1 point, 10-5.
Yeah.
So they are.
Yeah, they're best record in the National League.
They're going to play all winning clubs. If you can go 10-9, great. If you can go 9-10, because you've got roadies in there.
Yes.
Six on the road and what? Well, it's plenty of home games.
Yeah, if you,
13
if you,
at home, six on the road.
Even if you play two under or one under, and you can't play two under, one under in that crew, you have positioned yourself. You have done something that postseason teams do. Play around 500, maybe a shade on under 500 in a stretch against good teams.
10-9 would be great.
Yes.
Right?
10-9, you're feeling really good.
But with the home games, I think if you're like, this is a contending team, this is a division challenging club. Mm-hmm. Whether they win it or not, they're going to challenge to the get-go. You'd really like to see 10-9.
Yes.
So, I don't know if they're going to do it, but that's what lies ahead. That's when we really, like, when can you buy in? We did our Kauffman Corner podcast last night, and Randy, you know, we're going to do something. I like the idea of, we didn't do it last night, but kind of showcasing the depth of the Royals. But, you know, when can you buy in? When can you feel good as a Royals fan? We had all these people in the chat room. Oh, you know, I just know I don't want to invest in yet. Others were, yeah, I'm in. Listen, any winning baseball, I'm going to take advantage of it while I can, which that's my theory. I recommend treat it like you're going to go to the World Series. Live and die with every pitch, because we have so many years that we're already buried. You're not buried. So why would you turn your nose the other way? If your answer is, by the way, I don't get Bally's, so screw them, I can't talk you off that ledge. That's for the Royals to fix. So I hear you. We don't need to go over it. The TV situation blows. It sucks in Kansas City. It sucks in a lot of places in baseball. It's a critical problem to Major League Baseball, and maybe one that the Royals drastically underestimated when it came to the vote. Why would I vote to give money to a team that won't even give me a chance to watch them on TV? It would be a nice piece of information. We talk about all the things we don't know. One of the things the fans didn't know when they voted was how the hell to watch the club.
Minor impediment.
I won't vote for the Rays new stadium project. I'm not going to be taxed for the Rays. Yeah, but they're in Tampa. I know, but I could see just as many games of the Rays in my hometown as I can you. Figure it out.
Yeah, I don't care which one he is wrong. Figure it out.
If they would spend more time fixing their television deal, perhaps even at the expense of their own pocketbook, less time trying to explain to people why they should vote for something that they, you know, inherently don't. And many people did want to vote for it, and that's fine too. But clearly, a lot of people didn't. There seemed to be a lot of like, no, let me convince you why to do this. You know what? How about get your games on TV? You know, I'm just saying.
Like the rest of the world.
That might be a convenient little revenue source.
All the time that you spend sending emails to people about get out and vote, you know, coming up with scripts, making your players go do, which they don't want to do, but go stand in front of a camera and say, yeah, you know, say something that's super generic so they don't have to get bit by it later, like, let's keep things rolling. Pat, why were you for the super? Why were you for the new stadium? I just said, let's keep things rolling. I didn't really go, yeah, it's a great deal because of this, this, and this. So how about stop wasting your money on that and spend that money putting your games on for the fans? And maybe the fans will then have more of an appreciation. It's amazing. We had people yesterday, there are people that are listening now that are going to call in or email me or shoot me a tweet at Soren Petro if you want, and they haven't seen a game this year. Not one game. They didn't go out to a game because they thought the team was going to suck, so they haven't bought any tickets yet. And they'll get around to it, but they haven't gone yet, and they don't have access to the games. So I think that's a bigger you know, more people, I had a couple people like, well, you know, what do you think? They're like, well, I wouldn't have voted for it. I'm like, why? I can't even see the games. Why am I going to let them tax me if I can't even see the games? So let's go ahead and put the dirty little secret, which is a secret to nobody that's a Royals fan, on the table. Stop trying to convince people of your plan and fix what is the most broken aspect of your organization and your industry. Fix it. Pretty simple to me.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty simple to me. You have a good product now.
Yes.
I get it last year. We suck. Might as well hide this thing. Now you have a good product. You paid Bobby Witt. You're going to pay him $200+ million if he stays for the whole contract. What would it cost to get out of the Bally's deal?
And if you have, I mean, in theory, if you develop your own network, you're in a situation where you can, there's other revenue streams because you can put current games on there. I know that MLS already has a deal with Apple, but there are other broadcast opportunities if you've got your own RSN.
I agree, and they, what a total turd in the punch bowl. The people that worked at RSTM are great, but all we got were the games. There was so much potential. You could have Sporting.
Sporting was up and coming at that time.
Sporting was up and coming. The Current, the KU, a couple of games
when they're on ESPN Plus or whatever. Yeah,
marry up to KU. All that's over on ESPN Plus. Okay, not then it wasn't.
Right.
Exactly. And maybe the Big 12 is on RSTN. Maybe you link up with a couple other Big 12 ones, and you have the whole Big 12 on there.
Omaha, put your Omaha games on there.
Minor League Mondays, they do it on Yes Network.
The Mavericks, put the Mavericks on there. Put the Comets, both those teams are in the playoffs right now. You got a couple minor league soccer and hockey teams who are playing for championships.
But it would take an effort. Like, it's not just, you know, raining money on your face where you can just lay there and let it trickle down. You'd have to roll up your sleeves and make an effort. Well, you want everyone to pay the freight on your stadium? Make an effort.
Yeah. To put money in a team and then not do anything and let anyone see it, it's like investing a massive amount in your business. And say, we're only going to be open from 1 a.m. to 4 a.m.
And let's be clear. John Sherman has acknowledged and is aware that this is a problem. He's probably the most pissed off guy of the bunch. Okay, but he bought into it, and he didn't buy into it yesterday, so it's his problem now. Mm-hmm. And I get it. That, you know, he could have tried with all his might, and we'd have been right where we are. Fine. I don't have to like it, and he's still the guy that my complaints go to.
And everyone's like, when are we going to watch these on Amazon? What happened to that deal? Wasn't that going to be?
I don't even. There are a couple of things.
Did that story actually happen, or did I dream it?
Well, two things. One, yes, like Amazon was going to carry games, and the Royals were one of them. And then it mystically just disappeared. Kind of like, remember when we had a big press conference and for like 2 or 3 days, all these stories being written and talked about how LIV and golf and PGA merged?
Mm-hmm.
And then I bring on David Faraday, who's like the top color guy in golf and is the LIV color announcer. And I'm like, hey, what have you seen from the merger? You tell me. We haven't seen anything. Like, talk about propaganda. Like, what the hell was that? Which brings me back to the Royals with the, well, we have a deal with Bally's, and so we're kind of stuck. We couldn't start our own thing. Well, then you're the only one who can't get out of a deal. Because near as I can tell, every coach leaves, every player shoots his way out of town. Like, no contract means anything. It's just a matter of how much money are you going to spend to get out of it. Make something up. What dipwit signed this contract that doesn't have 10 poison pills in the middle of it that gives you at least the grounds to get into a lawsuit and fight your way out of it and say, okay, we'll pay you $50 million and we'll stay with you for 1 year and then we're out. Every dumbass company in America does that all the time. Every rich guy in America gets out that way. How is the one rich guy and rich company in the world that can't come up with a lawsuit to get out of something that's not good for him is our baseball team when it gets good? How does that happen? No contract ever binds anymore. So, you know, just a thought. Wasn't even where I wanted to go.
I know. Well, it's. I think the best topics are often the ones that are kind of organic.
Well, just, I mean,
there
I,
it is.
Listen, I get the. I have DirecTV and YouTube TV, and I write it off. I'm not gonna. I mean, it's a write like 80, whatever the percentage is. Mm-hmm. It's almost everything I watch is sports. 80, 85, 90% of the cost of my TV is a write-off. That's not true for everybody. So it's no big deal for me to carry DirecTV, who, by the way, like I'm not a rich guy, but every 12 months, I get on the phone with them, wait on hold for 40 minutes, tell them I'm going to quit, I'm going to drop it. They drop, they go, oh, here's a promotion. We'll bring the price back down to where you were. And I stay with DirecTV, which basically funds my YouTube TV, and I do it. And every time my wife goes, you've lost your mind. And I go, well, for an hour and 10 minutes of my time, I just saved us over the next 12 months like $600.
It's pretty good. Pretty good wage.
Maybe your gig pays $600 a year. Mine don't. $600 an hour. Mine doesn't. So this was time well spent in my book. It sucked. I wish I didn't have to spend it, but I did it. But I recognize lots of people out there like, I can't do that. And I have my television package, and I don't want to sit on the phone for an hour. I get it. But, you know, I feel bad when, you know, there's compelling baseball to talk about. Real baseball stuff for the first time in like 5 years. And like so many of the people, I'm like, oh, I didn't see the game. I mean, I look at the box score the next day, but you're just killing your fan base.
Let me get you back on the track you wanted to go. If they did have their own RSN and they did have Minor League Mondays, you could see the depth of this organization.
And that's where we'll go next.
What do you think of that?
That's where we'll go next. Dynamite segue. Those broadcast classes are really paying off. We'll take a break. 913-3810-810.
It's No Hangovers May with Greenlight Dispensary. Enjoy their flower specials all month long by visiting one of their four KC area locations. Or check out their AI bud tenders at greenlightdispensary.com. That's greenlightdispensary.com.
And you're in the program. You listen to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, talking a little Royals baseball to get things started. We'll talk some sporting here in a minute. Grunny talking draft in the 913-3810-810, the phone number. Let me ask you a question. Here to me is the, I think they're good. I think the Royals are good. I think it's official. I think they're a 500-ish team. I think they are. I'll know more in 21 games. Two more against the White Sox, and then the 19 against winning teams. We're going to have a very good feel. Shocking, the 40-game rule of thumb is going to look like the best chance to get a feel for it. Right? But here's my fear. Here's the depth issue for the Royals. I think they can stay healthy. We touched on this yesterday because they're young. But if they don't, Salvador Perez has gone down. This is actually one of the better, you know, places for them to take on water, and he said he'd be back today. Freddie Fermin can step in and do a good job. MJ Melendez is the emergency catcher. You know, but if Salvi hit the DL, you got to bring somebody up. Because I don't think MJ Melendez you want to put back there on a regular basis after he spent the entire spring playing in the outfield.
Right.
But so if Salvi goes out and you bring in a backup catcher, the DH duties get handled by Vinny Pascantino and Velasquez, a combination of off days for guys. You like Salvi's bat because you don't have any pinch-hitting bats. You lose a pinch-hitting bat, but overall, that's what you lose, right? Defense probably gets better with Fermin. Bat loses a little bit with Fermin. DH bat, I don't think, loses any, but your pinch-hit bat loses because whoever you're going to go to is not Salvador Perez. And whoever filled in for him on the DH day is not available. So you lose some pop there, right? And I think they're okay in the infield, right? If Pascantino goes down, Salvi can play over there. You can get the defense. You do lose if you have to go to the minors, right? Like, that. You know, that's one of the things, and that's where I think the lack of depth does begin to show itself, is when you go to the minor leagues, you find out, well, guess what? Ain't nobody really doing that great. So if Vinny would go down, Who do you turn to? Well, you're going to go to a guy who is strikeout prone. You get better defensively, theoretically, but you're going to go to a guy in Nick Prado who's 231, 355, 327.
Not so sure.
Yeah, it's like, no, okay, we're not that great. Second, short, you're kind of okay. Losing Bobby Witt hurts, but Michael Garcia can play short. Adam Frazier plays third. You lose second base, which they already have. Adam Frazier plays second. We're seeing what that looks like. When Massey gets back, your bench gets better. So that's the one injury if Massey's going to be the guy that you're dealing with right now. Nick Lofton gives you flexibility at second and third in the outfield as well, so you can absorb injuries in there. You don't want to lose Bobby Witt's bat, but what is the answer if the rotation starts going down? We looked it up several years ago. It takes 8 to 12 starting pitchers on average for playoff teams to make it through the season. Let's just say you're going to need 10.
Yeah.
Right? 8 to 12 pitchers made starts for playoff teams. A few years ago we ran this exercise, and they all needed somewhere a minimum of 8, a maximum of 12. So let's pick 10. Who are the next 5 guys up to start games for the Royals if they need it? Alec Marsh falls apart.
This is not going to be good.
Lugo hits the DL. Reagans hits the DL. Singer's got a tired arm. Whatever it is, let's go 5 deep. Who are the next 5 guys to start for the Kansas City Royals? Who's your first choice?
Jordan Lyles.
I think Jordan Lyles, you stretch out, you have some bullpen days, you stretch him out, and Jordan Lyles goes back in as a 5-inning guy, and we find out if 2 times through the rotation, he can be solid, right? But he's choice 1. Who's choice 2?
Oh, my goodness.
Is there anybody on the big league roster?
No, the only guy I can see that I can remember he even has started games for the Royals was Serpa.
Well, Angel Serpa's in that next 5.
Yeah.
And stretching him out, he has started before. He's off to a great start in the bullpen. I kind of don't like messing with him, but yeah. So he's not choice 2.
No, but he could be like maybe
he's 8, 9, 10 somewhere in there.
Spot guy.
Let's keep playing the game and see where we get. Okay, anyone else on the big league roster?
I don't think so.
I don't either. There's nobody else. Matt Sauer. Rule 5 guy, so far on the year, 5 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs, giving up 1 homer. He's walked 4 and struck out 2.
Yeah.
Not ready.
No. Schreiber's a career bullpen guy, has 2 career starts, so he's not that guy.
You might end up getting to Sauer as number 10. It needs to be later in the year when he's got more accustomed, but they're using him perfectly right now as a Rule 5 guy. And he is not coming out throwing BBs like Brad Keller or the executioner, like Soria. He's not like instantly like, oh, no, he's got this level. He's still feeling his way through. Maybe he'll be an answer. He's probably number 10 as I look at it. Was Zerpa maybe number 8? And, by the way, help me out with 9. But because 8, I think, is Jonathan Bolin.
Yeah, he's been dealing.
He's been the best guy. He was in that 18 draft class, was the second rounder of the bunch. He's had Tommy John. 3 starts, 16 innings, 14 hits, 4 runs, giving up a couple of homers, but 16 Ks, 3 walks. 16 innings, only 17 base runners, 14 hits, 3 walks, 16 Ks. He looks pretty good. By the way, Iadu, he's 27.
Right.
Like, quiet as it's kept, now there was COVID and all that mess and a missed year in there. But still, even if we were 26, we're not talking about a guy that you're like, oh, because we've mentioned it. When it comes to the big strikeout years, if you measure that by a pitcher being at his full force dominance, after that he has to get smarter. You can be better and you can induce ground balls and come up with other pitches and find a way to not blow everyone away. But your dominant best begins to erode at 27, according to the way strikeouts work of the best in the business.
Yeah, they're about a year or so ahead of the home run window for hitters.
Which is my fear because,
at least a year.
Like, oh, Daniel Lynch. Daniel Lynch is 27.
Yep.
When's he going to get it? When he's 30?
And he's the only other guy on the 40.
those two are the only I can see on the 40 that would – you're looking at having to make a move on the 40-man to bring somebody up past that.
Yeah. And so, for me, the list of five guys, I'm going to add Chris Bubich. Right? I'm going to set him aside because he's not ready. But if it's later in the year, what you're hoping is Chris Bubich comes back and is the Bubich he was for a handful of games before he went down last year. And Chris Bubich is your best answer. He becomes the top answer whenever he's healthy. Yeah. So if you want to say Bubich, Lyles, Bolin, Zerpa.
Lynch. That's pretty frightening. But history suggests some form of that those guys is going to have at least a couple of starts.
Right.
Because you can't, you know, the 2005 White Sox aren't happening again, where everyone threw 200 innings and they almost got nothing, almost nobody else pitched but those five guys. One, that's it's a different game than it was 20 years ago, and two, to have guys, the Royals don't have guys like that. Almost no one does, but they certainly don't.
Mason Barnett in AA is off to a good start. Obviously, you're not going to go to him now, but he's had a couple of starts, 10 and a third. ERA's 2.61, WHIP is below 1. He's looked good down there, 11 Ks, 4 walks and 10 innings, only 6 hits. Maybe he'll come along. And do you really, and this is where I think a really hard decision by the organization might have to be made, and that is, can you gulp and just deal with not making a move? Because what prospects are you going to trade? Are you really going to invest in this year? Is this year enough of a year that you're going to move prospects for a middling starter to try to keep it afloat this year? That'll be a really difficult question. It comes with a lot of...
It's No Hangovers May with Greenlight Dispensary. Enjoy their flower specials all month long by visiting one of their 4 KC area locations. Or check out their AI bud tenders at greenlightdispensary.com. That's greenlightdispensary.com.
Layers, if you want to try to answer it.
Welcome back here to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. A giant soccer match was played in Kansas City this past weekend. We talk Sporting Kansas City right now, this segment. Of course, our coverage of Sporting Kansas City is brought to you by our friends at Corona. Corona Light, Corona Premier, and those Corona Hard Seltzers, Beach Bod. Yes, it's time to get back out. Head to the lake, head to the beach, head to the pool. It's going to be here before you know it. If you're looking to cut the calories, cut the carbs, the Corona Premier, the Modelo Oro, the Corona Hard Seltzers. With less sugar, less calories. Check them out wherever you buy your Corona. Let's talk to a man who found the back of the net twice in the match against Miami this past weekend. Eric Tommy joins us here in the program. Eric, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm very good, and thank you for the time. And listen, I know the match, you didn't get the result you wanted, 3-2. You guys lose to Miami, but what an event. What an atmosphere. What was it like playing in that match, first of all?
Yeah, it was obviously a great experience for all of us. Like you said, the result was not what we expected and what we wanted, but we enjoyed it a lot, and the atmosphere was amazing.
It was. It was absolutely electric, and I just got to, was everybody amped up? Did you have to calm yourself down before the match started, knowing that A, the crowd was going to be that big, and then of course who the opponent had playing for him at the number 10?
Yeah, it was obviously something special for us as well. Say over 72,000 people. At Children's Mercy Park, there fits around, I would say, 22,000. So, we were excited before the game, but at the end, it's just all about soccer, and we wanted the result, we wanted to play our game, and I think we did it not bad at all, but they had maybe more quality on the pitch with Messi and co.
Have you ever played against Messi before?
No, it was my first time.
Okay, and so what'd you think? What do you look like when you're out there playing against him? How good is he?
I mean to play against such a good player is like to see how good he is. The quality on the pitch is amazing. The first touches, the way he moved, that's world class. And I think every one of us could learn something of him.
Yeah, it was fantastic, fantastic to watch. But maybe the guy who matched him on the pitch was you. You had one hell of a day. What does it feel like to be out there and know that, you know, hey, you're having a day yourself, and Lionel Messi's there watching Eric Tommy put two in the net?
Yeah, it's like every game. I want to help the team with goals, with assists, whatever. Yeah, it was an amazing day for me, but not for us, because at the end it's all about the 3 points. And yeah, we have the chance on Saturday again against St. Louis to make it better than last Saturday, and that's the next goal for us and for me as well.
Let's break down your goals. First of all, the first one from distance outside the box. What's going through your head? What did you see when you let fly?
I think we got the ball. I think Tim Leibold got the ball in their half, and we had a counterattack. I saw the space in front of me. He played a great ball, and yeah, I just finished. The second goal was a little bit more tough for me after the upper corner with a direct volley. Yeah, but like I said, at the end, I wanted to win that game badly, especially in front of that big crowd.
Well, let me come back to, I mean, just because I'm always fascinated by what you actually see and what you remember when you can play at such a high level, being that I can't play at a high level. I'm always amazed by what professional athletes can do. When you let go of the first goal, did you have it? Did you have a place and a location you were going for, or is it just at that point like, hey, let me make sure I hit it with a lot of velocity, that I hit it solid and make sure to put some pressure on him?
I think in soccer it's all about details and the seconds you have and how you react. I saw Alan Pulido overlap me on the right hand side, and he opened the space a little bit, so the defender had to move. And it opens the gap between the defender and the goal, the left post, and that's the angle I wanted. And yeah, then it's all about the technique and all you need at the end. Obviously, a little bit of luck. Like I said, it's all about details on the pitch, and you have to react quick.
Certainly. Listen, you never know where how the goalkeeper's going to move and all that. So there's an element of, you said luck. I mean, I'll just call it chance. I don't like the term luck, because when you strike a ball cleanly like you did, that takes skill. You've done your part. Now, yes, sometimes they're going to stop it, sometimes they're not. But the second goal, I mean, usually you see a guy try to strike it in the air. You talked about the first touch quality from Lionel Messi. The first touch quality on that shot was impeccable. How difficult? Usually you see a guy try to make that shot and he ends up kicking it way over the top of the goal. How difficult is that shot to keep down and keep under control when you're striking it right out of the air?
It's not easy. It's not easy. But also in that situation, you have to take the risk. I saw the ball coming. It was in the air on my strong right foot, so we have to take the risk. And then, fortunately, I hit the target.
Yeah, it perfectly. I mean, off the post and in. I mean, you couldn't script it any better. We're talking to Eric Tommy here in the program. Eric, I mean, do you get a sense that you guys had a couple? Let's talk about a couple of giveaways that really cost you. You mentioned a little bit more quality for Miami on the pitch because of Lionel Messi and, a couple of the other guys. But do you kind of kick yourself that, like, some of the damage was self-inflicted in this match?
Yeah, I mean, before the game, our target was to close the middle, to don't let them play around our middle in the dangerous area. So that's what we basically did very good. But like I said, at the end, it's all about details and seconds, and the game opens a little bit, and if this guy has a little bit more space, he's going to use that space with these other guys like Suarez, Busquets. But I have to say also the last goal was, we gave it up too easy. And yeah, but at the end, a great experience all of them.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned the detail part of it. And there's two ways to look at some of the matches you guys have had this year. One, you left some points on the board, with giving up some comebacks, up 3-0, up 2-0. One ended up being a 3-2 loss. One ended up being a 3-3 draw. This one being 2-2 and giving up the goal. But there's so many things you guys are doing right as well. And offensively, the attacking part, you guys really seem like you're starting to put things together. You know, you can either look at it and say, wow, they're giving away points. You can say you're this close from being really, really good. Do you feel like you guys are just like almost right there at putting it together and being a very special team this year?
I think that we are a good team, yes, but obviously we have a lot of things to do better in the future, like you said. We have to close the games. And I'm not talking about the Miami game. I'm talking about the other games we had before.
Right.
We were like 2-0 in front, 2-0 up after halftime and gave up the points. So that has to be our target, to do better, to take more compact, defend the goal, and to want it to win games. That's the most important thing. And I think we will do better in the future because we know that already. We train it every week, and we will see what the future brings. But I'm positive.
How about the new formation? Having Agata and Polito out there. Listen, we understand the firepower that both those guys bring, but we also understand it's kind of a new setup. It's kind of a new formation. Takes a little time. How's the chemistry with the new formation?
I think the chemistry is still good. It doesn't matter which formation we're going to play, but that makes us not like predictable because before a game, you never know how we play. These two guys made it really good the last game, and the option for next game as well. We'll see, but it's good to know that we can play in different formation and make it complicated for the opponent.
And listen, I appreciate the fact that you are a no-excuses guy, but it does take time to build the chemistry when you – because before it's always been Agata or Polito. Having the two of them out there and both of them being guys that are finishers, but you're a guy that does a great job. You had a brilliant pass to Agata earlier in the match. He wasn't able to finish. It looked like maybe you were probably open maybe for another touchback. But, you know, it does take time, right? You do have to build that camaraderie and chemistry for it all to come together. I mean, no doubt you guys will be better two or three games from now having played together and gotten a better feel for the way you guys mesh the best, correct?
Yeah, on one side, you're right, but I think the basics are there. So it's not the fact that we change a lot in our formation. It's just a small part in our game that we switch from three midfielders to two strikers and two midfielders. So we can adapt quick. And like I said, in training, it feels good. It works out. So we can do it in the game as well, and the chemistry. Chemistry, if it's like a 4-2-3-1 or 4-4-2, it's the same. It depends also against which opponent you play, how the opponent's gonna play, and if you play at home, away. There are a lot of factors which are really important for our game, and at the end, it's all about Peter's decision how we play.
Eric Tommy is with us here in the program. Going to play at home, and the next one you mentioned it's St. Louis. Did that playoff match last year give you a taste for what the natural rivalry is between the two cities, Kansas City and St. Louis, and does that make this match a big one?
Oh, yes, it is, of course. I think we had, I have to think about it, 4 or 5 matches last year against them with the playoffs as well. So it's a big rival. It's a big game for both of us. We are really happy and excited to play at home and to show them our strength again. But on the other side, we have to be careful and alert because they are strong. We know how good they can play. They have also good players in their team. So it will be a good match, and hopefully a lot of guys will come again to support us.
You got 4 out of 5 on the road after this one. St. Louis is the first of 4 consecutive games against Western Conference teams that are above the playoff line right now. How important is it to get not just a result, but to get 3 points against St. Louis on Saturday?
Yeah, it's important like every game. We want to collect points early in the season. That's our target, to get in a good position at the end of the season. So we have to start now. I think, in a good shape. We can be confident. We're maybe on the table, not at the best position, but we lost only 2 games, and that could be good for us. And, we, I mean, like I said, we are confident, and hopefully we're going to win the game.
Yeah, and still a game in hand as well against those teams that you're chasing. We're talking to Eric Tommy. Time for our Final Four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Royals. You can see the same experts that care for the Royals. If you suffer an orthopedic injury in everyday life or playing sports, walk right in. Walk-in care is available at 435 and all in Overland Park. Weekdays, they're open 8 to 7. Saturdays, it's 8 to 2. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics. Four quick ones. Tell me the first thing that comes to mind. Is this the biggest crowd you've ever played in front of this past week against Miami? Is that the biggest crowd you've ever played in front of?
For me, no. No, I played in Germany. I think Dortmund has over 80,000 attendance. Bayern Munich, I think 73,000, 72,000 as well. So it was not the biggest, but one of the biggest for sure, yeah.
Okay, very good. All right, who was your favorite player as a kid?
Well, when I was a kid, it was always Zinedine Zidane, back in the days, one of the best players in France. And then it switched, obviously, then it was the time of Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo, Franco Ribery, and all these kind of players.
Is Lionel Messi the best player that ever lived, yes or no?
I would say yes, yeah.
Yeah, pretty damn good.
Definitely.
Yep. Finally, tell me, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, 1 being the worst, the Miami uniforms, where would you grade them?
Miami uniforms?
Yep, their kits.
I don't want to talk too much about other clubs, but it's not my favorite, so I would say maybe a 3.
I love it. Eric, hey, it was a great match. I know it didn't go your way, but hopefully it's certainly a lot of fun and great watching you play always. Thanks for giving us some time, and best of luck this Saturday with St. Louis.
Thank you so much.
All right, what player holds the NFL rookie record for passes intercepted in a season? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.